could I first of all humbly say I've enjoyed my day with you. It's been a rich, rich blessing, and I'm going away. I don't know how you are going away, but I know that Carwyn and I will return, God willing, to Pembrokeshire with that thought in our minds that you were at a blessed company of the Lord, and God has indeed richly undertaken for you in the ministry of his word. May indeed we pray that Andrew and Gwyneth will continue to have that indeed lovely experience of knowing his presence with them as they seek to serve the Lord here at Bethel. I also want to say humbly to Gwyneth a big thank you for the lovely way in which we've been treated this day. I was saying, well, it's good that she never weighed us on the way out, otherwise we would have been a lot heavier than when we went in. A special meal and a special time together. Isn't it lovely to have fellowship with friends and to enjoy and indeed to reflect upon the past in our lives? God is good. We don't deserve it, but his grace. Well, this evening I'm going to turn to that passage which our dear brother read for us, and I thank him for reading it so lovely and reminding us of indeed John the Baptist. And could I just say that we sang, was it 494, was it to start, wasn't it? Yes, 494. God used that passage in a way that I want to share with you. How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. And that's what I want my theme tonight to be. Called to holiness, to serve the Lord day by day, week by week, month by month, and by God's grace year by year, that we indeed will reflect Jesus in all that we say and do. We are his ambassadors, and John is here reflecting of it when he's bringing this passage of scripture before us, I believe, tonight again, reminding us that he was indeed an apostle of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We are told that our Lord himself mentions that he was a prophet greater than any born of woman. What a reminder. But he was not only a prophet, dear people. He was prophesied about. That's the gorgeous thing about this unique passage. He was indeed reflected, as you heard in the reading, 700 years before the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, in that of the book of Isaiah, speaking to us, telling us as we read the word, this is God's plan. And we are all in God's plan tonight. Every single one of us here that is gathered in his name, we are in his plan. I think back, Andrew asked me this morning, when did I come to know the Lord? And by grace, I came in 1959. But you know, as well as I do, what I'm going to say. He knew me far longer than that. My whole life, I can say this evening, was in his hand. When I was indeed, perhaps, travelling away from God and being self-righteous, pompous, feeling in myself that I had it all, God still loved me. And I remember a dear man preaching and saying that how he used to, before he came to know the Lord, he used to go out into the towns, and he said, I'm ashamed, as he stood before a congregation of nearly 2,000 people, and he said, I'm ashamed to relate to you what my life was like when I was indeed in the world. But I remember, he said, vividly, I used to come in, and my poor dad was an invalid, and he used to sleep on the ground floor in the farmhouse where I was brought up. And I used to hear him at 2 o'clock in the morning praying for me, praying that God would indeed touch me and bring me to know salvation in his name. And tonight my whole passage, my whole desire is that we ourselves, by all the grace of God, live a life worthy of the calling, that we may indeed take upon ourselves the responsibility of bringing the gospel to other people. We're only passing once through this world. We may meet only with a person once in our lives. Do we share something of Christ? Not necessarily in words, but in a manner. And you heard what John says to these people, and from the 16th verse, 10th, sorry, from the, yes, I can't quite see myself, the 10th verse onwards, saying when these questions are posed to him, well, what shall we do? And the answer that was given by John is a reminder to us tonight that we can do practical things. Things that in our mannerism, how we behave ourselves, how we indeed indulge ourselves in our daily living, is to be reflected in that of our Christian walk. We cannot live on a Monday what we are trying to live on a Sunday if we do not truly believe and know the Lord and want to please him. I want to say this evening as I come, my text is found in that 9th verse, and even now as the axe is laid at the root of the trees, therefore, whoever every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is the challenge of John. John was a unique in the sense that he was, I often think sometimes he was a Yorkshireman, because he was straight from the cuff, didn't he? I don't know if there's any Yorkshire people here this evening, but I can say one thing, I know Yorkshire men and women, and you know exactly where you stand with them. And John is such a man, as he brings the gospel of our Lord and Saviour to be. He's a forerunner. He's one that's going to proclaim. He's one that's going to tell. And he's got a message to bring. He went out into the wilderness, and the people come to him. And he is wanting them to know that is one coming far greater than I am. I'm only human. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Literally what John is saying. But he who is coming is the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And that's my whole theme this evening, to remind us that we can look at it and we see in the world around us how many people tonight will say, well, man will have the answer. Man can surely solve our problems. You know, ourselves, there are places like governments, welfare groups, you know, and reformers and various other charities and means whereby we are attempting to bring about a better society, a better way of living. And if you read the book of Hansard in the government, in parliament, you will see there men's good and women's good intentions. They want to improve society. They want to bring about a better standard of living. But you and I know tonight that man has not got the answer. Whatever man attempts to do, and with all good intention, still the reminder is this evening that he cannot solve the problems that this world is facing. And I want to deal with this evening and remind us here is the reality of it. I do remember at the end of the Second World War, there was a cry. We had two world wars, as many of you know, and the result was that thousands and hundreds of thousands of lives, millions of lives, had been lost, and the devastation that it had caused. And people said, well, let's educate the people. Let's bring a better standard of living, and the result of that education will be that our society will be better, that our minds will be more rational. We will be able to understand the responsibilities, and we will not so easily go to war and engage in that of warfare. Now, I'm not decrying education. Education is a wonderful thing. And I believe every penny that has been spent on it has probably been well spent. But you see, he's not got the answers. A perfect world in our imaginations will never come into being. Or at least when it comes into, seemingly into being, it never solves the problem. Can I prove it to you through Scripture? Adam and Eve was born in a perfect paradise. And yet tonight you know as well as I do, they fell into sin. Israel didn't sin down in Egypt. It was in Canaan they sinned. It was in Canaan that they committed the lives of going against God and worshipping idols and turning away from God. You see, perfect conditions don't bring perfect people. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified upon a cruel cross by his own people whom he loved and wanted to serve and wanted to bring them to know forgiveness through his precious blood which would be available through the cross of Calvary. You see tonight, dear people, the world cannot answer the problems of today. The only answer is in Jesus Christ and him alone. And I believe tonight as we come, that as we look around, we remember some of us older folks, that Prime Minister who said, "You never had it so good. You never had it so good." What is the result of that supposed goodness? Well, I can only say to you tonight that it's meant moral disaster. You have to look at your papers on your televisions, and you and I come to one conclusion, that the moral state of our land is tragic. Spiritual declension. On the way up, Darwin and I was listening to a Christian program, and it was telling us how many churches and chapels are closing in Wales. One every week is closing, on average. And it said 20 years to go, 20 years on, it will be indeed literally non-existent if we look at it with human eyes. You see, tonight, the situation is perilous in the sense that man has not got the answers. The reality is the Lord's Day has again been brought into some disrespect, hasn't it? Scripture tells you and me as we read our Bibles that that day is a holy day, a day set apart, a day that we refrain from only the essential labouring that there has to be. And we realise tonight that doctors and nurses and ambulances and fire brigades and people like farmers who've got to provide food have to do some duty even on the Lord's Day. But our day has changed. My grandmother, if she came back today, she'd be horrified, as would have been your previous generation, to see the state of our land. I'm all for sport. I love sport. I was involved in sport as a young man, but I feel hurt to see the Lord's Day taken in such a way that games as we played on the Sunday. And a dear friends of mine, a husband and wife, they had a son who was a good cricketer. And the young man was so, the prospects were so good for him that he had a trial with Glamorgan County Cricket Club. And they offered him a contract. But at that very time, the Sunday League was starting. Maybe you can remember it. And he was a Christian. He'd committed himself to the Lord. And he realised the difficulty. And he said to his mother one day, "Well, I'll have to decide, ma'am." And she said, "Well, it's you to have to make that decision." A week went by and 10 days went by. And he came one day to his mother and he said, "Ma'am, I've got news for you about my future in cricket." And she held her breath. She said, "Yes, I've decided not to accept the contract." You see, tonight, dear people, I know sometimes these people claim all manner of things that they can achieve on the Sunday, and there's nothing wrong in playing a game on the Sunday. But you see, it's the Lord's Day. It's a holy day. It's a sacred day. And the result is, here is John bringing before the people as they stand out in the countryside, and as he preaches to them, he reminds them of their responsibility as they seek to serve the Lord. We heard it this evening as we sang together that hymn, reminding us how our duty and responsibility called to be holiness. And we are called, you see, we are set apart. We cannot have a foot in the world and our foot in the kingdom. It's an impossibility tonight. We can't walk the narrow way and the broad way at the same time. The challenge is for you and for me tonight, as we look at this word, to realize that this word tells us plainly that we are indeed people to honor God in all that we do. You see, the axe is at the foot of the tree, at the root of the tree, and the reality is that we have to honour God in all that we do. Liberal theology has crept into our churches. That of modernism in our preaching. The fact is that we don't preach the full gospel no more. You only take out bits. You only use certain sections of scripture. And you literally ignore or remove it mentally from the writings of Scripture itself. You see, tonight, these are the dangers that we face. These are the things that can taunt us and bring us away from God. These are things that can cause us in our spiritual character to indeed bring about with it a demise of that of Christianity. This church, I'm proud to be here on such a lovely day and a special day to remind myself that those men and women who sacrificed to build Bethel for the glory of God. They sacrificed because at a time when money was scarce, when the reality of building was to be great for them, and yet it did not deter them. They set about the task. Why? Because they loved the Lord. They wanted to please the Lord. They wanted to honour God in all that we do. And I believe tonight as we come, we realise that the axe itself that is spoken here of is at that root of the tree. For the simple reason, if we indeed do not attempt to encourage and enable others to know the gospel through our living. Somebody once said that the reality is that people may not have a Bible. May not have the word of God, but you are that Bible, and I am that Bible, because by the way in which we live, not only on a Lord's Day, but on a Monday and a Tuesday, and the days that follow in the week. You see, tonight, dear people, is to remind us of our responsibility, of our duty, and of our calling. You see, sometimes we realise that, and we look at ourselves, that we are not what we ought to be. None of us can claim tonight that we are what we indeed claim to be, in the sense that we realise we are sinners saved by grace. As long as I live, I still got that sinful nature. Though I've been saved, that sinful nature is upon me. And we often think of those words, prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the courts above. The danger is, there's always a distraction from that of your worship and from mine. And I come this evening with this knowledge that here in this particular part of it, it isn't just a clipping of the tree, it isn't a pruning of the tree. The tree, if it doesn't produce fruit, has to be hewn down. I remember a man by the name of Richard Owen Roberts. Perhaps some of you, do you know Andrew Richard? He was American. Evangelist, and Richard Owen Roberts came over to this country a number of times, and he came once to preach a rally, a revival rally in Pembrokeshire, and I remember him saying that he was preaching in London, and a large congregation, and there was a gentleman sitting in the second row, he was an elderly man, and he had two hearing aids in. And obviously the man was delighted with the sermon because he was tapping his hands to make sure he could hear properly. And Richard Owen Roberts was preaching about the fruit the fruit that comes from the tree. And of course, at the end of the service, this man got up and immediately, and he came on to Richard Owen Roberts and he said to him, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for that message," he said. "Thank you for mentioning about the root," he said. And Richard Owen Roberts said, "No, I didn't mention about that. I mentioned about the fruit." "Ah," but he said, "you can't have the fruit without the root. And you see, tonight you cannot have the fruit without Christ, who is the root of the tree, the living tree. He is the means whereby we are able to produce fruit worthy of repentance." And the joy is, as you and I know, that he came into the world to be your Saviour and mine. What a glorious Saviour we got. Oh, tonight we could spend and reminisce much about his love and his kindness to us. We don't deserve it, do we? Often think each day as I pray that I'm not worthy to know salvation in Jesus Christ. What did he see any good in me? Just a wretched sinner. And yet, he chose me. Why he chose me, I will never know until I go to glory. And I think that's the first question I'll be asking the Lord. Why did you save me? Why did you choose me for salvation? I'm eager to know the answer, but I know that he loved us in a most amazing way. That love that brings us from that of despair and rejection. From sinking sands, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. That's the Saviour that we have tonight. That's the wonder what John was proclaiming. And if you haven't got that fruit that comes, then the root is definitely has to be removed. It isn't something that's a minor thing. It's a major thing. But we have to bring ourselves to realize, yes, we have to change when a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. When Jesus came into my heart. And the joy is tonight as we share together is that the reality that he is telling us clearly that he needs us to produce fruit for his glory. Now, as we look at the word and we see it ourselves this evening, we realize here that he was a man, John was, very ordinary, wasn't he? He was dressed in an attire which wasn't common for the Jews. He was one that went out and he lived upon the wild, birds, insects, and various fruit of the hedgerows, so that he may live. He was a unique man. Isaiah, as we heard in the reading tonight, came with that great message. In the 40th chapter, he speaks of the one who's going to prepare the way. Make plain the road and set it straight. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be lifted. Brought up higher. You see, when they make a motorway, you see amazing things that are transformed. You see, the low parts are brought up and the high parts are brought down. As the excavation continues to make it possible for a road to carry through to a destination. In the same way tonight, John the Baptist is saying to us through this message, he's come to make that road. Malachi, in the same way, at the end of that great Old Testament, he prophesies again and again about this coming of this unique prophet and the message that he had to bring. So you see tonight on your anniversary service how wonderful it is to realize that we have a responsibility. A responsibility to bring fruit from our lives. To show others simple facts, as we are told here. He that has two tunics, let him give to him that has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. Simple, ordinary, everyday things that can aid others who are in need. That's the practical side of the Christian faith. That's the way in which we can reach people and tell them something about Jesus Christ. How privileged we are when we feel having met with somebody and shared with them and related our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that they've gone away perhaps questioning, even acknowledging that they had a need. Others sometimes go away and they reject it. I remember being frog-marched on more than one occasion down the path of a house when I was in Roaches, as Andrew has reminded us. Under the door of this particular gentleman, and I said to him, like, you know, the first occasion, I'm the minister of the little chapel down the road. And he said, oh, I'm not interested in Christianity. I can manage without God. That's the theme. I can manage. And I say, well, you know, you realise you need God. Oh, my dear friend, he says, I don't need God. I don't need him. I've lived till now and I'm enjoying life. And I can manage without. But that's the thing. And I tried to remind him about what was going to happen on the Lord's second coming. And that he would indeed himself, as he here is reminded, that a tree that does not bear good fruit is cast down and thrown into the fire and is burnt. The reality is we are facing heaven and hell. And we ask ourselves this evening, if we don't bear fruit, then we are a rejected tree in the sight of God. This dear man just caught hold of me by the scruff of the neck and frog-marched me down to his little gate at the entrance to his premises. I went the second time and the third time. And I'm glad to say the fourth time I went, he was willing to listen. That's something that I overjoyed. And you see, tonight as we come, we are to be people who tell. Gossiping the gospel is a reminder to us tonight. Oh, we gossip, idle gossip, don't we? We bring things to people's mind and attention about the worldly matters and about personal affairs. But you see, we got something to tell. We can tell about what Jesus has done for us. I had a dear sister in the church with me at Penwell. I remember well she saying to me, oh, she said, you know, I freeze when the JWs come to my door. I don't know what to say to them, she said. And they go on and on to me. I'm tongue-tied, she said. And I said to her, look, tell them what Jesus has done for you. And that's the only thing that we can. That's our testimony. That's what we know, the experience of being with Christ. It's a personal relationship. It isn't something we know about. We can know him in a personal way. He is one that is closer to me than breathing, and to you if you're a believer tonight. That you may come and you can share with him. Nights as you go to bed, and sometimes you wake. I'm sure tonight you'll walk at many times in the night. Isn't it a lovely time to pray? Isn't it a lovely time to meditate upon God's goodness? As you reflect, as you lie in the comfort of your bed, to think what God has done for us and why he has brought us to that knowledge of salvation. That John here is willing to sacrifice so much that he's willing to go out into the desert and these places to bring the gospel to others. William Williams Fantikellen wrote that hymn, didn't he? Yes, guide me, O thou great, I say Jehovah, but Redeemer is the change of the latter years. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. What a reminder tonight. We are in a barren land. But we got something to tell, something to share. We got something to encourage others. Those people who are downcast, we talked about it this morning, that lack of trust that can easily overtake us. The reminder here tonight is that there is one who is powerful. John says in that reminder, he is far greater than I am. The latchets of those sandals, I am not worthy to unloose. The reality day by day that he is able to bring me that consoling thought that he is the Almighty and Sovereign God, the one who is eternal forever and forever. So you see tonight as I near to my close, I'm reminding you that upon the cross he said, it is finished. It is finished. The work of salvation is complete. He had indeed paid the price of your sin and mine. He did it willingly because God so loved us and he wants us to be in his kingdom. I'm never tired of telling my congregation how much God loves them and loves me and how much he wants us to know salvation in Jesus Christ. And it is this evening the whole crux of the gospel to know that we can produce fruit when we know salvation. That we can become men and women who in this little town here of Nelson will be able to go from door to door, whether you live in Caerphilly or in Cardiff, wherever it may be, or in Pembrokeshire. You've got a message to bring. You've got hope for a despaired people. You've got something that you can encourage where no encouragement exists. The reality tonight that the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the most important thing that one can ever possess. And tonight you are privileged, I pray. If it's someone who is yet to come, oh, I pray humbly that you'll come even tonight to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You will lean on him. You will say to him, I need you. I need to produce fruit. I need to become indeed a tree that is worthy of that of the knowledge of the repentance that has been given to me. That's the gospel that we are sharing tonight. And I believe humbly every tree that does not bear fruit will be cast down and cast into that fire. You see, the axe is already at the root of the tree. My dear people tonight, as I leave you, I bring to you one encouragement. Remain with the Lord. Depend upon him. Know salvation. And rejoice in him day by day as you seek to serve him. Let us pray. Oh, gracious, loving Father, how we praise you tonight again for your goodness and your mercy to us. May we never be tired of telling others about you. May we indeed endeavour at all times to seek those who are lost. That we can easily sit back at ease in Zion, sitting in our little evangelical rocking chairs and know in our hearts it is well with my soul, but Lord, there are others while we have been here speaking and sharing tonight who are already gone to that fire that has been prepared. Remind us tonight, Lord, of our duties. Enable us to see the glory that awaits every believer. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank our brother for leading us in our singing this morning and tonight, and tonight we are going to turn for our final hymn to 586. 586. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand as we stand. 586.